Hey, Lighthouse family, it's Matt with the tech team. I hope this message speaks.
If I can have Julie, if you can just check the photocopier, and I thought I had brought them up here, but I don't see them. So I just want to go over a few things, and then I want to have some time. The last few weeks we've been praying. Last week we prayed for the service coming up for the Good Friday and the Easter Resurrection Sunday service, and there were results. Also, there was prayer the week before as we were praying for the different people that were listed and the names that were listed, and just the moving of the Lord. And tonight, I want to continue on this line of prayer and praying for the election coming up. I don't want to ask, but I want to say again, have you voted? You have opportunity to vote, and I want you to make an effort to vote tonight. I'm just going to say, sometimes you might say, hey, I don't know who to vote for. And sometimes you say, well, you know what? My parents voted for this, and I'm going to vote for the same thing because that's who my parents voted for. But to make an informed decision, and I'm just going to make one main statement at this point. If you look at any of the polls, there's only two main parties that are neck and neck. The question is, which party are you voting for? And this is the first time, like, I don't like to state anything to influence your vote, because this pulpit isn't necessarily for political things, but I'll say this, the fact that we need to pray for those that are in leadership and in authority, to pray for them means that the Lord wants us to be in consideration of who should be in authority over Canada. I'm just going to make one statement, seeing that there's two parties. And I'm not saying that either party is necessarily perfectly righteous and godly in who they are, but I'll say this. There is one of the parties that is looking at this point to shut down and take away the status that churches and non-for-profit organizations have as a charity in our nation. So they're already looking into that. And so they've already made sort of about a month and a half ago, I had somebody come and just say, hey, Pastor, you need to look into this. And then it was withdrawn, but it was put out and tabled. And it seems like that is the direction of this one party. And this party, if you look into it, is the party that is in control right now, just so you know, all right? So I won't say which name that is. If you don't know who's in charge right now in our country, then you can come see me after service, and I'll fill you in a little bit. And so really we have one choice. You say, Pastor, that's not who I voted for in the past. This at this time, if you haven't voted, that you should say, you know what? I need to look into this more carefully, and I need to vote according to which of the parties, the two main parties that are left, which party to vote for, okay? And to vote in that way. With that, Tonight we're gonna pray for our federal election. We have the next, I don't know if voting is open, Julie and I already voted. I know we have polling stations here at the church for the Monday. So they had asked to see if they can use our facilities, the gym, and so they've done that in the past, and they've asked again, and so we've agreed to have three polling stations here, and it's just for the Monday, okay? So if you are voting, you have a card that is given to you. If you don't, just make sure hey, where do I vote? And I think you can register at a polling station if you don't have that card for voting. On the card that you should have already received will tell you where it is that you can vote. Again, if you don't have that card, from what I hear, you can go to a polling station and register there. All you need is an ID, all right? So your driver's license, a photo ID, or your birth certificate, I believe as well, will work, okay? And I think it's open for the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Just Monday? All right. So if you have not voted, go and vote. If you're eligible to vote, go and vote. All right. We've been praying, and tomorrow night we're going to be praying as well. We've been praying already this week, and even before, we've been praying for our country, for Canada. How many of you appreciate being in Canada, living in Canada? Yeah, absolutely. I thank God for Canada and growing up here in Canada. If you are new to Canada, welcome. But we need to pray for our nation. And this morning, I just want to read a passage that just a few. Felix was leading in our prayer directive this morning at 6. And so he read from Psalm chapter 18. I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, which is almost word for word the same thing as Psalm 18. I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 22, from verse 1. And it is basically 50 verses of the God that we serve is sovereign. So I don't want you to say, after the elections are done, and whether you voted or not, God is sovereign. And not to say, oh no, the person that I wanted, the party that I wanted to get in didn't get in, or the party that did get in, I voted for them, and so everything's okay now. It says that we should pray, and we will get into some verses quickly. And again, I'm hoping that we'll have a good chunk of time to break into groups and pray tonight. Hallelujah. So this is what David writes, or this Samuel, the writer of Samuel, writes here in verse 1 of chapter 22, the second book of Samuel. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. You might say, did David have it hard? I would say to be a fugitive, can you imagine being hunted by the government, the authority of the nation of Israel? And so you have the King Saul personally chasing after you with the elite of his army. We're talking thousands of men looking and hunting for David. And this wasn't just for a few days. We're talking years. A number of years. And David here is writing after the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and this is what he writes, a song, the words of the song that David speaks to the Lord. And I would say that all scripture, says all scripture are inspired by God. And so here, this is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on David, is going back to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inspiring David to write this song. And so he writes, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That does not change from one generation to the next as we continue to hang on to the Lord, to follow Him, to trust in Him, to place our faith in Him. That has not changed in 3,000 years since it was written, about 1,000 BC. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That is the same for us today. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. In fact, we receive strength from the Lord. My shield and the horn of my salvation. The horn is something of blessing. It's also something of power. My shield and the blessing of my salvation. The horn or the power of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I remember this song, singing this song way back when I was a kid. And it was just written. It'd be interesting to know how this part of the song, this verse, sounded like when David sang it. One day, I'm sure we will know exactly this song. In fact, we'll have all eternity to hear the different psalms that were inspired by the Holy Spirit that David wrote, to hear David sing as well, and to have the choirs singing along. Be like, oh my goodness. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. So here David, this song that we sang, a little simple song many years ago, 50 years plus ago, and he's basically, the song that I just sang to you is from verse 4 and all the way from verse 47. At the beginning and at the end, the chorus part, the Lord lives, or the Lord liveth, was singing according to the King James Version. Verse 47, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock, solid. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah. When the waves of death surrounded me, verse 5, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. It's the grave, Sheol. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. This morning, the focus is there was a sharing. Felix was saying, we need to cry out to the Lord. That we would cry out to the Lord tonight. He will hear our cries. Let me read again. In my distress, verse 7, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Hallelujah. Psalm, or 2 Samuel 22, same chapter, verse 29. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. Oftentimes, when we don't see a way out, we say, God, what's happening at this point? You know, sometimes you, as you focus in on, you know, what's being said, you say, there might be a fear that comes over you. What if the wrong party gets in? What if the wrong authority gets in, according to us? It says, you are my lamp, O Lord. Regardless, it does not matter. It matters in another way, it doesn't. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. Those that are chasing me, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Tonight, I don't want you to fear and just say, oh no, what's happening in these last days? The Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is in control. One of the last verses, second last verse, 2 Samuel 22:50 says, therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. I'm going to give thanks to you. And tonight, there were a number of you that got up to give thanks to the Lord. You said, oh, Lord, I am thankful for who you are and what you are doing in my life. All right. What I want to do tonight, just so that it's online, so rather than having breaks, I don't know if they can edit or whatever, but at this point, I'm just going to go through. I want to give some instruction, and then I'm going to give each of you what I went over. And what I want you to do, or what you will do, is pray on these points in your group. Again, I'd like to keep the group smaller than larger. So even if it's down to two or three, we're two agree concerning anything. So there's power as we agree in prayer, as we come before the Lord, and that you would go over these points. So I've got three main points. And then within those points, there's a few different things just to consider as you pray. So it's all there. And so I don't know how far you'll get. If you don't finish tonight, that you would just go home. I'm going to take this sheet home. I'm going to pray this. We got one more day left for elections. Apparently, there's been a record number of people that did the pre-election or voting, and or the, what is it called, pre what, or anyways, if you got in the early election or the early voting, there was a record number that came out this year, and I've heard again and again, this next election here is critical, it will, depending on who gets in, will definitely change the projection, either for worse or for better. So it's good to pray. Just a quick passage from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is often read when we pray for elected officials. But it's not just for elected officials. It is, and it's not just for those in authority. As we'll read here, it's for all men. And when I say men, I mean mankind. So for every single person, it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So in there include a giving of thanks for those that have been a blessing to you, as was done tonight. For kings and all who are in authority, we need to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So why prayer for all men? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And it goes on. Why pray for all men? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's why we pray for others, because it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the heart of God. Why do we pray during elections? Why do we pray for those that are in authority? Why do we make intercessions? Why do we make supplications? Why do we bring others before the Lord? Not just that we have a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, not only because it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, but it is because he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So those that you know, the Lord desires for them to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth if they are not in that place. That's his heart. He goes on to say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So that every single person can know there is one God and there is a mediator between God and men. So somebody that wants to mediate, a mediator is somebody, if there's a problem between two parties, the mediator is there to get things right between the two. So when it comes to the mediator is between God and men. And that mediator, the one that wants to have man to have right relationship with God, is the man Jesus Christ. You might say, ah, God, you can't relate to where I'm at. And the mediator here, I like what it says, the man Jesus Christ. He's basically saying, I know what you're going through. I know how you're feeling. I know your emotional state. Because I was a man once. I walked on this planet. I know what it is to be human. And he mediates between God and man for the aspect of relationship, that there will be relationship between God and man. And who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave his life for us. He basically paid the ransom for our freedom from a prison or eternity apart from God. And he made a way possible to be testified in due time. So not only is he a mediator, not only was he the ransom for us all, but it is that he would be testified of in due time, to be spoken of. Now listen, this is why we are praying tonight, that the election would come to be such that there is peace, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, and that there would not be an opposition to us testifying of Jesus. So we can pray for this. It says, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And so basically he's saying, hey, Gentiles, those that are not necessarily believers, they need to be taught of what to believe and that which is of truth. As Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And we have, as we pray, and as we would pray and cry out to God, Lord God, let the right party, let the right authority be put into place as we have opportunity to vote, as we have opportunity also to pray. And so let's cry out to the Lord. So number one, we'll be praying for those in authority, okay? Again, the two main parties that are way ahead of the others at this point in time is the Progressive Party and the Liberal Party. So one led by Pierre Poilievre and the other one led by Mark Carney, all right? Just so you know, the party that is in power right now is the Liberal Party with Mark Carney, all right? The party that was opposition for the last 10 years has been the Progressive Party, and at this time is led by Pierre Poilievre, all right? When you vote, you won't find those names on the ballot because you are voting for a person that is representing the party in this area. So just so you know, at this point in time, I don't even know who the Liberal candidate is. Andrea. The other one is Baldinelli, Anthony Baldinelli, and he is for the conservative or progressive side, the conservative. So, all right, let me just say this. The second part I want to pray for today is against deception. Against deception. And so this is what's coming out at this time. And it says in 1 John 2, verse 18, and we can pray against the things of deception, that there would be discerning, that there would be revelation that would come in you, and also things that need to be exposed, that they would be exposed. All right? It says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Just because somebody says, hey, I'm a Christian or whatever, doesn't mean that they're a Christian. All right? You need to have discernment in these last days. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Lord, anoint us. Anoint us, and let there be an anointing that would come upon all that are out there. Let the anointing break the yokes of bondage. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit lift the burdens off of people's shoulders. Let there be a revelation that comes with the anointing of the Holy One, of the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Just check out, is your party and your representative, have they made any mention of God or not? See if you can find that out. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? The party that would be wanting to shut down charitable organizations such as churches is definitely opposed to the spreading of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, as a statement's been made by politicians, they always say, let me be clear. And then do they tell the truth? Let me be clear. At this point, the party that is in power is a party that is wanting to shut down charitable status of churches. So they've been testing the waters even in the last month and a half. So, just so you know that. So who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is a Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. To acknowledge Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He who acknowledges the Son, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us, has the Father also. Interesting. 1 John 4, verse 3. Secondly, that there would be a prayer or prayer going up to reveal the spirit of Antichrist and for discernment for the saints and for everyone, that they would have discernment. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. That was 2,000 years ago. It's even more prevalent even now. And basically, it is declaring that Jesus has not come in the flesh or attempting to shut that down. All right? So we need to pray for the revealing of the spirit of Antichrist and for discernment for the saints. That which is opposed, that there would be a knowledge and opening of the eyes for that. Thirdly, prayer to restrain the mystery of lawlessness. There's a mystery is something that's hidden or covered up. The mystery of lawlessness is this thing that's underlying what's pushing. It may not be in the forefront. It may not come out in the open. It's covered up. But we would pray against the mystery of lawlessness, that which is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read quickly through 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Listen, we shouldn't be shaken in mind or troubled as if, has the Lord come already? The Lord hasn't come yet. He has not come yet, all right? And I'm talking about the second coming of the Lord has not taken place. Jesus coming 2,000 years ago has already taken place, but his return, his second coming, has not taken place yet. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." This apostasia or falling away has to do with falling away from the faith. There's a turning away from the faith. "And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." At this point, the man of sin. Who's the man of sin? The son of perdition. Who? Who's that? The Antichrist. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Is there a temple of God that is in place at this point in time? Not yet. There is no temple of God in Jerusalem, and there's other references here, and I'm not going to get into all of I'm not going to get into them. But the third temple, the last temple was destroyed in AD 70, and all you have now in Jerusalem is you have the Wailing Wall and the wall and the around that section that has the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim temple or mosque is there. So when you see a picture of Jerusalem, you always see that golden dome. That's actually Dome of the Rock is a Muslim mosque, all right? The temple that used to stand there in the time of Jesus is no longer there. The foundation is there, or that flooring is all there, but not the temple was totally destroyed. There's another temple that's going to be built. It hasn't been built yet, and the Antichrist will actually sit in the temple halfway through the Great Tribulation. So we can read of that in Revelation. You can read of that in some of the Old Testament prophets, especially Daniel tries to show exactly where the Antichrist is coming from. Very interesting study. "Do you not remember that I was still with you and I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining or holding back the enemy from coming," or the Antichrist and even the spirit of the Antichrist. "There's a restraining that he may be revealed in his own time." The time is not quite yet. And there's something that's restraining. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." There's stuff happening underneath. It's hidden. "Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." I prefer this line here in the King James Version, because that uppercase H sometimes throws people off as to who's doing the restraining or who's going to be taken out of the way. And so here in the King James Version, it's in a lowercase h. But even in the uppercase H, don't mistake this he for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not leave this planet. There's going to be many people saved during the tribulation. It'll cost them their life, but they will be saved. So you can't get saved unless the Holy Spirit draws a person to the Father. And so with the salvation, then, it's not the Holy Spirit that's being taken out of the way, but rather it's the body of Christ that is being taken out. When the body of Christ is taken out, if you think that it's dark now, it'll be like night and day compared to what it's going to be during the tribulation, and especially the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's going to be terrible as the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials or bowls are poured out on this planet. So there's a restraining. Pray that there would be a restraining of the mystery of lawlessness at this time. While we are here, Lord, restrain the underlying stuff that's going on. Let there be a pushback by your Spirit, by the body of Christ, even by us as we pray. We can come against that in Jesus' name. Let there be a revealing, perhaps. The prayer before is a revealing of the spirit of Antichrist and discernment for the saints. And the last, quickly in the last days, the third main section is that the gospel would go out in power and in the Holy Spirit. So prayer that the gospel goes out to all nations. In Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14, this is Jesus speaking just before he left this planet, and he's talking to his disciples. And he says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a powerful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I just say, thank you, Lord. It'll be a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So this still has to happen. Now, a lot of it has happened. There, like, the gospel is going out powerfully. And as the gospel goes out, according to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, that it would not go out in word only. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out and that the gospel would go out in power, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance or much boldness. That would happen in Jesus' name. And last 2 points, pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, according to Joel 2, 28 and 29. Let's not just pray for the Holy Spirit upon us as believers, but let us also pray for the Holy Spirit upon the unbeliever. Let us pray for the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. For the believer, we are empowered to be witnesses unto the Lord. But for the unbeliever, as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, they get to a point where they are pricked in their hearts regarding the gospel, and they're pricked in their hearts, and they'll cry, "What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? I want to get saved." That's what we, as the Holy Spirit is poured out on the unbeliever, we're not talking about them speaking in tongues. We're talking about there being a revelation of Jesus Christ to the point where they say, "What do I have to do to get saved?" Now, I saw this happen once. I mentioned this, I think, last year. I can remember, this was back in the early 2000s, and we were having youth. And there were so many youth getting saved. It was like I'm writing down every week there are other kids coming to Christ. And I can remember, so the service hadn't started yet, because we had church. The service hadn't started yet, and so I'm just meeting with some of the youth and some that had, I didn't know because they, it was the first time they were there. There was this young lady, and I don't know if you're listening, Jamie Carpenter. You got saved that night. Here's what she said. My name is Jamie Carpenter, and I want to get saved. Just like that. My name is Jamie Carpenter, and I want to get saved. If anybody knows Jamie Carpenter, she gave her life to the Lord in the early 2000s. Let's pray that she will come back, because I don't know whatever happened to Jamie Carpenter. But that they were pricked in their hearts, or even as others, oh man, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. Came to church for one reason. I need to get saved. They would come to church for that reason. I need to get saved. Let's pray for that. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, that there would be a pricking in their hearts, that they would say, what must we do to be saved? The Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh. And lastly, prayer for the healing of Canada, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's not up to the unbelievers. It's up to us, the believers, the children of the people of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if there's something in your life that does not belong, get rid of it. Get rid of it. So as we do that, as we humble ourselves, we're called by his name, we humble ourselves, we pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need healing in our land. So let's pray according to this. Lord, let there be a change in me and us. Things that don't belong, let me get rid of them. And Lord, because we are praying that you would hear from heaven, that you would forgive our sins and the sins of those that of this land of wickedness and darkness, and heal the land, heal the people. We're talking about people getting healed and healed spiritually. Praise the Lord. If I could have you very quickly go, we'll go about 20 minutes. And I want you to get into groups of 2, 3, 4, no more than 5 max.
Hey guys, it's Matt with the tech team. I hope the sermon blessed you today. Check out our other messages down below. Have a great day. God bless.